across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's on album. I only discovered this the other day. An album full of this baroque sun, I believe they call sunshine pop, with a mild hint of psychedelia. Got a cough switch, my voice is going. I'm not going to give out the phone number. If I see some phone calls on the screen, I might put them through, I might not. It's good though, isn't it, Katya? There's a whole album of that. It's Gary Usher, who wrote, kind of invented the car song with Brian Wilson, and another guy, Kurt Bacher, I think his name is, and it's a made-up band, Sagittarius. Bruce Johnson's in there. I think Ben Campbell might be on there as well. Right!
Bruce Johnson, my mate, Bruce Johnson.
Bruce Johnston, your mate Bruce Johnston, yes, yeah. who flirted with you a little bit and then told
little
me I was
bit.
Told me I was probably a gay. Yeah, that fella.
He tickled the palm of my hand.
Sam, come and join us whenever you wish. We'll just sit here and chat. If I see any calls flash up on the screen, if they look interesting, or I'm in the mood, I will take the call. And if not, then
just in case.
You never know when there's going to be a moment that requires that.
What's the biggest check? This is for me. It can be for all of you. What's the biggest check you've received for a day's work? Biggest check I've received for one day's work. I hosted the Q Awards in about 2003. It was an evening's work. I got paid £10,000. Yeah, I know. That's a one-off. Never had anything else like that. I've done corporate gig. You get paid several thousand pounds, but I'm not one of those that gets like 20 grand for corporate gigs that some people get. And I think that was probably the highest I've ever had, Dev. Hope that answers your question. Matty wants to know, when is Sam getting his own section of the show?
I don't know. Isn't that a question for you?
Hopefully you enjoyed that section of the show, then.
Was it? Here's a nice one from Erin. How are you all?
I'm getting choked up.
Well, I'm losing my voice a bit. I had a cold that didn't quite take. And then just today, I feel my chest going a bit and I can feel my voice going. And I'm doing a thing at the weekend in Blackpool and I'll be on stage for an hour and a half, but I'll have a microphone. Here's the thing. Whenever I'm in front of a live audience and I have a microphone, I still talk too loudly and have very poor microphone technique, so I will lose my voice.
Just so you know, me and Catherine both know what microphone is. You don't have to, like, do the physical miming what a microphone is.
But is it, do I not? You know that now.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. I shall put that microphone down. How are you, Catherine?
Today, I feel like I've had a really productive day. I made some phone calls that I've been putting off for no particular reason other than I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
I've had one of those weeks where, when given the choice to do something or go to bed, I've gone to bed and thought, I need to do that. But today I was really productive. And also, I'm really looking forward to Saturday because I got to tell my kids that we're going to go and visit our potential kitten.
Could be getting a cat Saturday.
Yeah. So I'm filled with hope, but at the same time, I'm reserving a little bit of... I'm a little bit prepared for disappointment. Someone might swoop in before us and... But there'll be another cat because the thing is, right, we're ready now.
It will be the right cat as well.
Yeah.
If these cats go, they weren't meant for
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
There was a cat before Mucky and Lucky I was supposed to get, I think, and it fell through. I wasn't meant to have that cat. I meant to have these two idiots.
Yeah.
To bring live mice into my house. Second live mouse I've had to rescue and get rid of. How are you, Sam?
I've had a very meh sort of week.
Yeah.
Like I've been setting myself an alarm every morning because recently I've been sleeping in really late. I've set myself an alarm every morning thinking, right, I'm going to get up and do stuff. And then end up just lying in bed for a couple of hours, then getting up and having to come into work.
Should point out that this lying in bed that Sam and I have been doing has been independent of each other.
Yes.
Sam?
Yeah. And then, today in hospital, which was bleh.
This is the blood test.
So no, this was today. I had to go for an ultrasound.
Okay.
That was
which
really
one's the ultrasound?
Odd.
Is that when you go in the pod?
No,
the ultrasound is on the.
Yeah, it's like yeah, pregnant women.
You get that cold gel.
All the gel all over you. It wasn't cold, but it was just
sticky.
It just felt.
And you wipe
horrible.
It off. They give you the blue towel, paper towel.
Yeah.
Off. You can never wipe it all
no,
off.
No, I think like I had to change t-shirts as soon as I got home because I got home and it was just really sticky and horrible.
And they don't tell you then. Whether
no,
they can
so
see
that's within the next week. I'll find out. But
my ultrasound said. I'll let you know now. It looks all right to me. And I know that's not, you know, she's not a doctor, but she went, it looks all right to me.
I thought it's because she's like, oh, it'll take us about a week to send it to your GP. I'm like, well, you know, just open up your emails. I can send it now. I'll be there in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then I'll pop, just let us know. Can you see anything moving in there that looks unusual? But are you feeling better?
I feel fine, yeah. Like, this is why it's why I'm positive about it. Because, like, I probably feel a little bit iffy sometimes, like I get headaches a lot more and my stomach hurts a lot more than usual, but hey, I'm functioning, so I'm
Bex asks, what is the best Tom Hanks film? And then she says it's The Money Pit, isn't it? I don't really remember The Money Pit being that great. The jokey part of me wants to say Bachelor Party, because I did enjoy Bachelor Party.
I've not seen a lot of Tom Hanks films.
I can't think of, I mean, they're all quite boring now.
Sully's good.
I've never seen that.
I watched the first 20 minutes and found it a little bit.
Sleepless in Seattle, of course, a classic.
Toy Story, if you count that.
Okay, and I think the Mr. Rogers one's going to be brilliant. That's going to be his best one.
What else has he been in that I might have seen and enjoyed?
You've Got Mail, which I enjoyed as well.
Michael Palin filmed a whole load of stuff for that as a butler, I think. And
really?
It all got cut out. All got cut out.
What a shame.
Yeah, I know, he was gutted. He's really gutted. It's like his chance to be in a big Hollywood movie. And it all got cut out. Well, I can't think what Tom Hanks.
Have you seen The Terminal?
I didn't like that. He's very
big, of course.
That involves
Forrest Gump.
Didn't like Gump. Didn't like Big. Okay.
Oh, Green Mile. That's a good film.
Oh yeah, all right. I said the Green Mile.
I've not seen it. I thought it's sad.
Oh, it's incredible. I've got it on DVD if you want to borrow it.
Sure.
Right,
okay.
I'll bring it tomorrow.
Paul says, is there one single thing that circumstances allowing you can go to that makes you feel instantly happy? No.
Yeah. My scooter.
Okay, for you? Uh-huh. Anything, Sam?
Probably not, no.
No. When is Sam getting his own section of the show? That's not happening. Andrew says, what number am I thinking of?
Six.
Yeah.
69.
Lots of people asking after your health. I think we've established
Thank
that.
Thank you,
so
everybody.
People,
I'm fine.
Matty says, I enjoyed that Sam section. Looking forward to tomorrow's Sam section.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow, sorry.
What was it? Like, let's take a little cheeky phone call here. Hello, line one, you're on the wireless. Hello? Yes? Okay, thank you very much indeed.
It's a great contribution, thank you.
Ian, what was it like working on The Persuasionist? The Persuasionist was a sitcom I did that was not very good and was generally seen as one of the worst sitcoms of all time. It was wicked. I had a great time working on it because I'm working with all these people that I really admire and like. I'm working with Adam Buxton. Harry Enfield wasn't in the series, but he was kind of like meant to be in the series early on. There was Daisy, what's her last name? Oh, God, what's her last name? I think she's brilliant. She's such a good actress. Do you know what I mean? Blonde girl. Daisy. Anyway, Adam Buxton was in it. I can't remember anybody else that was in
it. Natalie Goomady?
No.
Daisy Haggard.
Daisy Haggard, I think, is brilliant. So I really enjoyed it. And I thought it wasn't going to get made because we filmed like we rehearsed and rehearsed the pilot and I replaced somebody else who got kicked out. We rehearsed the pilot and we did a read through.
Where are you going? Headphones off.
All right, man, calm down. We did a read through and like a read through performance and BBC were going to make it. Then they weren't going to make it and we were told it wasn't going to happen. Then we did a pilot, studio pilot. And they said it was going to happen, then they said it wasn't going to happen. And then I have one of those meetings that you have at the BBC where you get called in and they say, we're going to make it. We've got great plans for you. We're going to get you on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. There's a meeting with me and the guy that I used to work with, a guy called Simon. Wilson, who was like the runner on the 11 o'clock show, then became the head of comedy at the BBC. We're going to get you on have I got, on, the, but never mind, the Buzzcocks and all these things, and we see this is going to be a great vehicle for you. And I bought into all of that bullshine again. This is my problem. I bought into it again. I was like, wow, great. And then as we're making it, the kind of first episode was the pilot episode, which we did again, and it was quite funny. And then sort of the second and third episode, I'm thinking, I don't think it's funny, but it must be funny because it's got all these funny people in, and it's produced by the guy that wrote The Inbetweeners, and the BBC are making it, and it must be funny. And they'll do something on it afterwards to make it funny. And we filmed the whole series, and then like months later, we went to a screening for the press, and we just sat there going, oh my God, this isn't funny. This is not, I don't think it's awful. I think it's all right, but it wasn't a funny show. So that was disappointing. Hello, line two.
Hello, Ian Lee and Catherine. Oh. Before I get down to the meat, can we please have a moment's silence for one of my batteries that very sadly died today? Thank you for being so respectful.
Pleasure.
Hit it. Here we go, go, go. I like it like that. I like it like that. I like it like that. Yeah. I like it like that.
Thank you very much indeed. I enjoyed that.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We've got some good questions coming in. David Babcock says, when we have a nuclear attack in Britain, what would you do? I'm driving straight towards the bomb. I want the bomb to land on my head and kill me and destroy. I don't want to live after
anything. Same. No, I can't be bothered with that survival stuff.
Sam?
Probably finding someone I don't like and just punch him in the face.
Wow.
Where do you live again?
In response to that, Artie Fufkin says to David, I'd shove a vax up your bum hole, you ghost fraud jobber.
Oh my.
Steve wants to know, what's your favourite cheese? Just a very strong cheddar, probably a pilgrim or a cathedral.
I'm torn.
All right, Natalie and Brulia.
No, honestly, I like a nice soft goat's cheese.
Okay.
Brie.
Yeah, brie.
Cheese.
Jesus.
I love cheese.
Do you remember Jonathan the Massive Racist? Yes. When he gets out, how do you feel about him phoning the show? Well, he did get out, and then, from what I gather, he had to go back inside. He broke parole. You know, Jonathan from Swansea. I think he broke parole. And we were asked this on Air Sunnies. Basically, Jonathan was a caller to the show. At times, he could be very charming and very funny, and would talk a lot about retro video games and get very philosophical about a cat that he'd saved and no one else would save it. But He was also huge racist, who sent terribly, terribly Islamophobic and anti-Semitic and violent messages and threats of rape and violence and all kinds of stuff. This stuff was horrible and would never in any way downplay it. People were very upset and frightened and scared by the messages he sent them. And he went to prison for quite a long time. Rightfully so. I believe he came out and then broke his parole and went back in. That's what I've heard. How do I feel about him phoning the show? Yeah, I'd love him to phone the show. And I know that upset a few people when we mentioned that before. But I've always found him fascinating.
And we have never allowed him to use the show to carry on doing what he was doing. That's the main thing. It had nothing to do with the show.
No.
Plus, it's not the nature of this show to turn down any call.
No.
No.
If things go sour, then we can...
We've had other people ring up who got out of prison. Why would he be any different? Yeah.
What's my least favourite Beach Boys song? Oh God, there are so many. The one that springs to mind is
I know mine.
Go on.
Barbara Ann.
Yeah, Barbara Ann is rubbish.
That's like a practice song that you do before you go on. You don't do it when you're on.
Here's one. This is from their 1979 album, M.I.U., which is a stinker. Here we go. Bells of Paris.
Bells
Wait till the verse kicks in. You're going to love it. You've been to Paris.
Yeah, I met a few bells as well.
Yeah, okay.
Said usually early in the spring, watching all the lovers walk along the Seine.
Sand.
Picture Penny in it like a wishing well. Feed the pigeons in my partner to Eiffel.
There you go, that's the bells of Paris.
Why would he call the Eiffel Tower Tour Eiffel?
Because otherwise the taxi drivers won't take you there. If you say the Eiffel Tower, huh? Eiffel Tower, huh? Le Tour Eiffel. Oh.
More. I still charge you more.
Always like talking to Sam when I call up, says Paul. Please give him my best wishes.
Best wishes.
Has anyone seen Once? What was Once? Or heard the awesome Oscar-winning song Falling Slowly from the same film? What was Once?
No idea.
No, we haven't seen it, so we cannot help you. Talking of Adam Buxton, did you ever call him when you were feeling low, as he suggested you could after he was on the show a while back? Yeah, I did. I did phone him up when I was feeling particularly low. I hit the Buxton button.
He also contacted me.
Yeah, I got in touch with him and told him I was struggling. Jesus Christ. Ian Lee, can you squirt?
What?
That's a question. Can you squirt?
Squirt what?
I don't know.
Water pistol.
Louise says, Stephen Gately, 10 years ago today.
Oh,
10 years. Can you talk about any times you have spent with him or Boyzone? I don't think I ever met all of Boyzone. I met Ronan a few times. Ronan came on Rise and was really, really charming and delightful.
We saw him on the plane, didn't we, coming back from Dublin?
We did.
Or going to Dublin.
Yeah, we did.
He was holding us all.
We had Mikey.
You just assume it was him because you were coming back.
No,
from
it was
Dublin.
Him because the air hostess was swearing about him under her breath.
Yeah.
And to silence us, gave us sweets.
yeah, I don't think I met Mikey Graham. We had him on the 11 o'clock show. I don't think we met any of the others. Hello, line one.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Can I actually speak to the tube staff, please? Can I bypass Ian?
Jesus, it's your. Is Cockney Lee, who everyone thinks is an actual character. Speak to Catherine then, Lee.
Do you mean me or do you mean Sam?
Catherine?
Yes.
You.
Okay. Why is your phone so lousy, Lee? You're a cabbie. You should be rolling in it.
Oh, mate. I'm on my way on. Oh. I've had enough.
Yeah, it's been rubbish today.
Driving a cab in London. I've had a lot, Ian. Catherine, rather.
Thank you.
Why the single... why do I pick up single women that are paralytic?
Because
I've got girls. Who better than them?
Me. I was going to say, because you're a good man and you know that they need someone to get them home safely.
Yeah. But why don't they pay at the end, Catherine?
You're joking. What, they legged it?
Of course they didn't leg it. They couldn't, like, they can't even stand up. Yes. So I've had a little call. Could I be, and could you pay me to be the cabbie correspondent?
Well. How about that? Well. You're welcome to ring us up and talk about cabs, but at this point, we're having trouble paying ourselves.
Can I just interject? Can I have 1 minute 48 of everybody's time?
I'd rather not.
Well, Lee, it's my show.
You're gonna. Thank you.
I'm gonna. Here we go.
No.
Okay. The only person who knows because oh, the words, all the words is the Manc.
Cultural appropriation.
Oh, okay.
No, that helped a lot. But, like I said, okay, Catherine can't financially pay me.
Yes.
But
or in any other way.
Huh?
You said financially pay
you. Carry on.
Was she being rude?
She was being rude, Lee. We're better than that. We're gentlemen. Yes, carry on.
I'm not.
No, all, you know, all right, if there's no financial gain, I could be the cabby correspondent, and I could take Catherine, you could get in my cab.
Oh.
What is it? Hold on, give me a second.
This is horrible.
For the greatest ride with the greatest guide, yeah, that's me.
Jesus.
Yeah, and I'm a London licensed taxi driver.
Yes, we can tell by the way your story's going for a long, long time.
Am I not eight, Ian?
Yes, sorry, Lee.
Just for a minute.
Yeah.
Catherine won't miss me because I've got a large black one.
Thank you very much indeed. But the phone line, luckily, was breaking down and getting worse and worse. Let's try line two. Hello, line two.
Ian Lee. Hello?
Yeah? Okay, and they're gone. Alison says, can you ask my fellow Nickelback fan, Sam, is he feeling any better? You're a good
yes.
lad. I was trying to get you a gift a couple of months ago, and it's not happened, so I can tell you what it was going to be. But I have got a friend who works on Virgin, Ben Jones, who's really good friends with Nickelback. And I was trying to get Chad Kroeger to record a message.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't happen. I'm telling you now because I was really disappointed. It just hasn't happened. It might still happen at some point.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Sorry. It might happen at some point, but I've been trying for like the last 3 months to try and get a little, hey, I'm Chad Kroeger from Nickelback's, and I just want to say, Sam, look at my photograph. Makes me laugh. But I've not been able to, so I apologise for that. But that's what we try and do stuff. Behind the scenes, we try and do stuff.
Yeah.
Once is an Irish independent movie. Okay, thank you. Paul says, was it Hollyoaks I auditioned for last year? Yeah, it was. I auditioned to be a sexually aroused teacher for Hollyoaks. And then the thing I auditioned for a few months ago was to be the Demon Headmaster in the Demon Headmaster reboot, and I didn't get it. And then I left the acting agent to go to a new acting agent, and I've had no auditions. So that's the end of that. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that dream. And then someone said, where was that gone? Paul says, if you could revive and star in any kids show, what would it be? Inspired by Mackenzie's Wurzel Gummidge. I was supposed to be in that as well. I was in the pilot for Wurzel Gummidge. I was the farmer. And then I had I'm friends with Mackenzie. And I had a very awkward exchange, like, months later. I said, where's all Gummidge happening? He said, oh, yeah, we're filming it. But we got someone else to play the part of the farmer.
Well, he said he didn't have any say in
it. He said that. It's nice of him to say that.
Yeah.
I was gutted. I was really gutted. Here's the thing. Kids TV is the best it's ever been. I don't really watch much kids TV now, but kids TV is the best it's ever been. It was rubbish back in the day, so I wouldn't revive any of it.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
To all three, says David, this is an old question I used to ask. Who would you go gay for to save the world? I used to do this on LBC, right? Imagine this question getting asked on LBC. We go, who would you go gay for to save the world?
And save the world?
Yeah, people
would
say.
Not just for fun, huh?
But someone phoned up and said, it's disgusting. How dare you? It's disgusting. What do you mean it's disgusting? Who would you go gay? What a stupid And it went on for ages and ages. And I said, okay, all right, I take your point. I get your offended, and I apologise. But if you had to save the world, who would you go get for? I'm not answering the question. But if you had to, do you mean if I had to? Said if everyone was going to die
it
in
is
the
a weird
world,
scenario.
Unless you had gay sex with another man, who would it be? And after 2 or 3 minutes, he went, oh, David Beckham! And I went, oh, you dirty git! And I hung up on him. Yeah. I'd go gay for a laugh. To save the world. It was who was my gay choice? David Bannatyne was my gay choice for a while.
David, not Duncan.
Duncan Bannatyne.
His more famous brother.
It was the arrogant football manager, Jose Mourinho, for a while. This is like 10, 15 years ago.
Wasn't it,
I don't really have any gay...
Van Wilder, yeah.
What?
Van Wilder.
Who's Van Wilder?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds for a long time. That was about 10 years ago. He had a really good haircut that I quite liked. But I wouldn't... There's not anyone that...
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. You can't nod to that, Sam, because you're going gay.
I know, but I'm saying that's an acceptable answer.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Demi Moore.
Gosh, that would...
Yeah.
Sam?
Zac Efron.
Really?
Good looker, he can sing.
Yeah, he can sing
and he's quite,
off.
Sing he's quite buff bed. Now, isn't he?
Sing you off. Did you say sing you off? No, I said
sing me off to sleep, I thought is what...
You said sing you off.
I started to say.
You said he could sing me off.
I've heard a brown noise, but I've never heard
it's like those opera singers. The opera singers that can break glass. And yes, the brown noise. Hello, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Am I on?
You are.
Oh, hello.
Is that Zac Efron?
Maybe.
Could you sing us off?
Not really, no. You're having me on.
You're on the air. What can we do for you?
I've just got an idea about saving money, really. When you want to book into a travelodge.
I'm in. Beautiful. Let's hear it.
Well, different kind of room rates, really. Because we use them all the time.
Yes.
On the road with the band that we gig with.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, how could we get a cheaper room?
Yeah.
Without, like, affecting the planet? And I was just thinking that maybe we could, there could be a deal where that we could book a room that maybe someone else has slept in.
Yeah. Well,
and it would be half price. And
that's all of them, like, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's all of them, isn't it?
No, well, some of them are better than others, I must admit. But, you know,
all hotel rooms have been slept in.
Yeah, but I mean, they've generally been cleaned, haven't they, I think.
Oh, you mean, oh dear, you want to sleep in someone else's juices?
Well, basically, but if it's cheap, I mean, maybe £20 instead of £50.
God.
No,
I mean,
that's
and then,
disgusting.
I
know, it sounds
you might
I know
get
it's
pregnant.
Bad. Yeah, and then there's that breakfast in the morning, and you could get like a really cheap breakfast. Where
it's already been
maybe
eaten.
Someone's not
the leftovers.
Exactly.
I would. Well, I look at because I love a breakfast buffet in a hotel. There's nothing finer than a breakfast buffet in a hotel, and the best ones are the cheaper the hotel, the better the breakfast buffet. But I do go in, and you look at like because people will go up for a second or sometimes a third plate, and then they never finish it. And I do look at it and think. I'd eat that.
Yeah.
I'd have that half bit of toast and half sausage.
It's a terrible thing, you know. I work on cruise ships quite a lot as a singer, and they always instill that they try to save the waves, you know, but you don't use all your towels. So, you know, try not to use all your towels. But then they fly me to the ship on 3 or 4 different flights, you know.
Well, you need to quit your job.
Well, do you think?
Yeah, well, because you're killing the planet.
I am, but they book the flights, you know.
Well, you can tell them you don't want the flights.
Yeah, you're right, but then I wouldn't get to the gig, would I?
Well,
anyway,
let's
go back to Travelodge.
Okay, well, don't do the gig.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you. Anyway, I was worried about it, and you've satisfied my desire.
Good. Yeah, we managed to sing you off. I've just had, and excuse me if this is wrong, but I've just had what was a really good question, right?
Yeah.
And I liked it, and then I liked the question on Twitter. By the way, we're getting these questions from Twitter, if you want to ask. And I liked it, and I just, and I did this, it was someone I hadn't seen before, so I did what I often do, is I went and clicked on their thing. And are you telling me that someone has literally just opened a Twitter account to ask us a question, and yet in the bio of their Twitter, they are the CEO of a computer company. So they're the head of a computer company. They've literally, they're not following anybody. They are not followed by anybody. They've literally just set up the Twitter account. And when I Googled their name and their company, I couldn't find anything. Does that? So I blocked them. I blocked them because that makes me feel a little bit suspicious. Have you seen it, Catherine? There's George Sanders.
No.
He's messaged you.
Has he?
He's added you in it.
But I think that I've got a thing on my, my Twitter that means I don't get things from people who've just set up accounts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've got like less than 10 followers or something.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, I think there is.
Gerald Sanders. I just don't. And the question has a very slight catch in it. The question, I read it. But I blocked him, and I'm not going to answer it, even though it's a great question. Good evening, Mr. Ian Lee and Mrs. Catherine Boyle. Just discovered your late night show. It's a breath of fresh air. It is very different to the rest of Talk FM's output during the day. Do you get on with Matthew Wright following your TV spat? Do you know what I mean? It's just a little...
Yeah, the question seems different when you know that that account has been...
When you know the... Yeah.
Yeah, if that was from someone else, it's a...
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
People. Sam, we've missed a couple of ads. Do you want to put all the ads together? Then give us an out time and then come back and join us.
Sounds good.
Are you enjoying? You okay with this?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm enjoying this. We're just sitting here. If I see an interesting phone call pop up, I'll take it. But I'm not giving out the number. Otherwise, you can tweet at Ian Lee. At Ian Lee, probably the best one with the questions. You can text us as well, actually, if you're not on Twitter. If you text the word talk and then your message to 87222, 25 pence plus your standard network rate. I've got those up on the screen up here, and I can see them as well. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio as well, and I'll see it on the screen. This is the Late Night Alternative with Sam, Kath, and Ian on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Where are we in terms of how the show's going in general? It feels we're both really tired today. Both really tired.
I've been tired this week.
Yeah. I think we are partly in holiday mode, which is not great because we've got another week, or certainly another four shows. We've got some good guests next week.
Yeah.
We've got the editor of Chat It's Fake coming in.
The finest paranormal.
We've got Imani Coppola on the phone live. What could possibly go wrong? And hopefully we've got Willie Nelson's granddaughter as well.
Yeah.
So we've got some great guests. Got some great guests. I think we've had some good shows this week.
We had a run of really nice shows.
I've enjoyed, and we haven't even really had the meeting about the direction the show is going to go in. This has just been under our own steam. I've enjoyed doing a few sort of newsier things. I've enjoyed talking about the Extinction Rebellion and stuff like that in our own way and mixing that in with fun and stuff.
And also, what I like about that is it's been done in a way that doesn't take over the whole of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of bubbles away.
I just wonder, what is the point of this show? I had a real moment today. I went and saw my youngest play football. And then right at the end, I got very emotional. I'll tell you why I got emotional. Because they're right under a flight path, right? This sounds nuts. But I'm going to share this because this is how nuts my head is, right, sometimes. And it was wet and it was cold and it was really grey. And then suddenly a plane came out of the clouds, really low, like a jumbo, right, heading to Heathrow. Came really low. And then suddenly my head's doing this fantasy in inverted commas, of the plane crashing into the pitch, right? No, I know, exactly. And this is insane. And I suddenly got this image of me rushing onto the pitch and I was thinking, well, I could grab my son and I could grab another kid and get... And then I got overwhelmed by the emotion of thinking, my God, what would that be like if something like that happened? And then I started crying. Well, because of this, it wasn't really because of the fantasy. Again, you know, fantasy we often associate with being something good or sexual or not. But fantasy can also be a negative thing. It wasn't really that I was crying about. There was obviously something somewhere. And I'd gone to the football match, A, because I wanted to, and B, because my youngest was upset that he hadn't really seen much of me this week. And so I said, oh, I'll come and watch you play football, and I'll pick you up from school, so I can spend an hour with you, and which isn't much, really, in the great scheme of things. But, you know, I'm more than happy to do that, of course. And then I went back to my car, because then I had just under 2 hours to sit and wait after the football to pick him up from school. So I thought, I was going to go and sit in Costa. I thought, I don't really want any more coffee. I'm going to go and sit in the car, and I'm going to meditate. And then I thought, I'll do a little stream, a little Twitch stream in the car. And it suddenly came over me that at the moment, I'm feeling very lost, right? And I don't know what the purpose of me is. All right, you're supposed to be, your purpose is your kids, purpose is to be a dad and all that. All right, I get all of that, right? I get what my responsibilities are, right? My responsibilities. And most of my responsibilities is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be a dad, right? It's hard work, and it's sad not living in the same house as my kids, and you never get over that. But that's a responsibility, and it's cool. The fact that my bathroom is knackered, and that's a responsibility. That's not so much fun, you know, that's kind of the responsibilities. I was really thinking, I don't know what I am. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if this is, I think this is a common thing with human beings, right? I was thinking, I don't know what I am. I don't really know where I don't really know where the show is going and what the show is doing. I don't know. Mm. I don't know what I am, Catherine, or what I'm doing, or where I'm going, or what the point of any of this is.
I think that is the point. I don't think it's about the show or anything else. I think it's finding something to stick to, this feeling of restlessness, and that you're at some sort of crossroads.
Yeah.
And you're trying to stick it to something that you can sort out. The show's fine. The show is fine. And a lot of people find it really useful. And we are both really proud of it. And if you'd have spoken to yourself 4 weeks ago, you would have said you were really proud of it.
Yeah, I had a lovely 8-9... It's got a bit heavy for the last 15-20 minutes. Who cares? Who cares? Lovely 8-9 week run of feeling happy for the first time in my life, right? First time. And then that's kind of gone, and I can feel myself not even sinking down. I've sunk. I'm sunk. Not as low as I have been, but I've sunk. And, I don't know. I'm tired. I just want like 6 months of doing it, of just switching off. Wouldn't we all though? Wouldn't we all like 6 months of just switching off? Just switching off. I'm really looking forward to this week off. Although already I'm stressing because I know it won't be enough. And on the Monday we're going to go and see Cher. So that's a day down. Do you know what I mean?
You're seeing it as a day down rather than.
Yeah. I'm seeing that as a day down of the week off. I'm doing a podcast on the Saturday for someone.
So
that's
it's
a
like
day
being
down.
Being shipped away.
Being shipped away.
I get that. I get.
What is my why?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I'm not moaning, but because you're in a different situation where you don't live with your children and you don't get to see them as much as you want to, right? I'm in a situation where if I don't do something, make an effort to do something by myself, like going to the shop or something on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I'm never on my own. My time is never mine.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so that time off, you talk about time off. When it starts to get filled up by other things,
got a chimney sweep coming on the Monday.
Exactly.
Boring.
Like impositions type things, like things you've got to do rather than things you choose to do. I start to feel quite overwhelmed as well. And I have to have a word with myself and just think, just take one step at a time. And it's stupid because it can be just one thing each day that might take half an hour, but it ruins the run up in my mind for about 4 days. It's just stupid.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure as well at the moment. And there isn't any more than normal. Got to write 500 words for Retro Game, which I have to do every month. Got to do this. But I'm feeling so pressured.
You gave me a great tip last time. I felt like this, and I was saying, I've got to go to the gym, I've got to do this. And you said, no, think of it as doing it for yourself, right? As a treat for yourself, kind of. Something you're doing for yourself. You ask them for that column, and you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And once it's done, you feel great, and it's nice to see it.
Oh, I find it easy to do.
Yeah.
It's easy, and I know what this one's going to be now. It clicked yesterday, what I'm going
to
do.
I think it's having too much time to think about what you're doing.
I don't think it is that. I don't think it is that. I don't think it is that. I don't know. Let's take a call, then we'll take a break. Hello, Fiona!
Hello.
Hello, Fiona. What can we do for you tonight?
A long-time listener, first-time caller, but one thing that made me call up.
Hang on, I've got it. I saw it in my bag.
I can hear it jangling.
It's in there somewhere.
You know what's coming, Fiona?
Hang on.
Yes, I know.
Hang on.
I'm excited.
Okay, don't get... Oh, God, where is it?
There it is.
Oh, it's broken.
There we go.
Jeez.
Just my luck.
Disappointed.
Thank
what
you.
Can we do for you, Fiona? Thank you for calling in. What made you pick up the phone?
Well, I wanted to call for a long time, but one thing that's made me pull over in the taxi, I'm a driver, and you said you were feeling lost and you don't know where the show is going.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that, as one of your listeners in the taxi every night, I feel the same, and I feel such a good sense of, you know, family when I listen in, because most people probably listen in and feel the same. And it's so good to know that you feel the same as us. And it just makes me feel good listening to you, even when you're not on your top game. It's so relatable. And I want to thank both of you for just being so entertaining, even when you're not feeling great, because it makes us feel not alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Why... I'm not going to cry, but that makes me want to cry, and Catherine is tearing up a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, what a very kind and generous first call. But what is the point of it? What is the point of any of this? I'm not going to have a breakdown like I did before on air. Yeah. I just don't know. What is the point of you, Fiona, if you don't mind me asking? I know it sounds quite an aggressive question, but what is the point of you?
It doesn't, because I've thought the same when you were talking about that 5-10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I thought about what I would say to you. basically, I lost my dad to cancer 3 years ago. I was working in a call centre and I had a total mental breakdown. And, you know, I changed career to become a taxi driver. It seems so random, but I love it. Hmm. And one of the things that reminds me and tells me I am doing what I need to do is that I have saved two people from committing suicide.
Gosh.
By driving a taxi. I saw a girl on a bridge. I was the first on scene, called the police, pulled over and spoke to her. And another guy tried to hang himself and I took him for free to the local hospital, took him in and made sure that the nurses knew what was going on, because I get more information out of him than they did. He throws when he went into hospital. And I contacted him a few weeks later and he thanked me because he's getting help he needs. It's just about finding help at the right time, because no other driver stopped to pick him up. So those two things in the last 2.5 years tell me I'm where I need to be. Maybe a few months in between, I feel as if, what's the point? What am I doing? You know, kind of like yourself, but there's just a few points. We can help others along the way. We're just all trying to get through this floating ball in space, just trying to make it to the other end as happy as we can be amidst all the rubbish that happens. So that's all I cling to, is helping others, even if it's just one person a year.
You're a very wise soul, Fiona.
I'm super immature, but yeah, I can be.
Yeah, you're very wise. That's what you've just said there. You've told us so much. What you just said there is beautiful.
Thank you.
Really sorry for the loss of your dad. That is...
Right. It happens. Some people have had worse losses.
I don't know if you listen to The Archers, Fiona, but there was an old guy in it whose name I can't remember, and he was in his 90s, and he died. Been in it for like 50 years.
And yeah, I remember it. I used to listen to it before I switched over to you guys.
And then he died a couple of months ago. And they hadn't dealt with it in the series. And they dealt with it today, where at the end of yesterday's episode, his son, who's in his 60s, and in the soap, the guy is 98, he was about that in real life. At the end of yesterday's episode, his son walked in and went, "Dad, Dad, oh, Dad." And in the beginning of this episode, Kat's going, the beginning of this episode, the first 5 minutes, it was stunning. I really suggest you listen to it on iPlayer. It was this guy in his 60s talking to his 98-year-old dad who was dead. He'd found him dead. And my dad died like 6 years ago. But man, Fiona, I was taken back there, and it was so beautiful, and it was so simple, and it was just him saying, "Oh, it's going to get me going now." It was just him saying, "Do you mind if I sit with you for a few minutes, Dad, before I tell everyone else?" Oh my God, Fiona, and I was sat in the car, and I had to pull over. And I was sobbing for my dad, who died years ago. It was beautiful. And just the way you've shared what you shared there, if you get a chance, first 5 minutes of tonight's episode of The Archers on iPlayer. Mm-hmm. I just think there might be something in there for you. There might not be, yeah. In which case you've wasted 5 minutes of your time. But it was so beautifully done and so simple that maybe have a little listen to that.
Yeah, I will when it's quiet later on. I just took a few minutes out to give you guys a call because
thank you.
I don't want you to think that what you're doing with Cass on here is a waste of time or a waste of your energy, because even if it is only a few thousand people, those few thousand people don't have many other places to turn to hear someone speak to them like they need to be spoken to. So you're not sugarcoating stuff. You're saying it how it is. And it's a real show that's not just focusing on all this Brexit rubbish and everything else. You're speaking to us like mates down the pub. I know that you were on about being at the pub earlier on. So I think that's where you are. There's no other show that I've found on the radio, because I spend hours in the car, in the taxi. No one else is doing what you're doing. And screw the bosses if they don't see how amazing it is. But it's unique. And it's wonderful, and that's where you need to be, and more people need to tell you how amazing it is, rather than swear at you just because they don't agree with some of the stuff you say. It's your opinion, you're allowed it. You're allowed to be not well some days, you're allowed to feel hopeless, but you're human beings, and what you do is amazing and special, so thank you.
Thank you, Fiona.
For entertaining me most nights.
Thanks for the good work you're doing as well. And we'll speak to you again soon, Fiona. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Kev.
Take care. Bye-bye. What a wise soul. Can we put the ads together, Amy, and we'll come out a little bit early. Thank you very much. What a call. You've gone, look.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It though, it's those bop bops. I haven't heard that for years. I've not been able to find that for years. I was looking for the wrong thing. Those bop 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 bop. It's just stunning.
But listening to it in your headphones, you can hear one side, other side, one side, all around. It's just
flipping it, man.
What a crack.
Goosebumps. I've not heard that. I love that song so much, and that version I've not heard for such a long time. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's an astrology special, although very few of the calls, if any, have actually been astrology based. Let's go to Sagittarius.
Hello, Ian and Cass.
I would say Sagittarius is perhaps the most overlooked of all the star signs. I know nothing about it.
Which is crazy, considering just how extra Sagittarius is.
Hang on a second. Let me just, hang on a minute.
I mean, it's a hunky man with a horse body, for God's sake.
Hang on a minute. Let me just go online.
You're a cocaine addict.
All right, Dad! Let me just go online. Let's just check something. Hang on. Just bear with me, Sagittarius. Okay, we're on. Let me just sag. Hang on a second. Let's go to yahoo.co.uk. Okay. Sagittarius traits. Let's have a little look, see what we get here. So slow. Ah! Okay, we got something. Okay, there's a website for it. Okay, let's have a little look here. Sagittarius traits. No two Sagittarians are identical.
How does that work out if you're trying to do a reading?
And that they can be problematic. That works. Sagittarius. What are the characteristics of a Sagittarius? Sagittarius is a mutable sign. Well, I've done that on Twitter to this guy, so yeah, that's true. Meaning it is associated with adaptability and flexibility. This perfectly reflects the archer's deep-rooted desire for change. Sagittarians are often untrustworthy.
Definitely.
Borderline criminal.
What?
And if they find £10 on the pavement, they won't try to find the rightful owner.
What?
They will pocket it and celebrate the fact on social media.
Yeah. But
does that tie in at all with... Does that fit with you, Sagittarius?
Where did you find that? Because it's dead on.
Yeah. Spot on.
This guy stole £10 off an old lady this weekend.
You did what? Now what?
Yeah.
I found £10 on the floor, and I did what
of
anyone
his mum's
would
house.
Do. on a very fancy street in London.
Oh, fancy street. So it's from someone rich, yeah. So they don't deserve to be treated like a human being. Okay, it's
well,
a class thing.
They've recklessly discarded their money, yeah. And I've made sure that the British
Maybe it was a poor person who was pulling trying to pull their money out of their pocket so they could go and buy their last packet of Rothmans, £10 fell onto the floor, and you decided they might need for electricity or Sky or more Rothmans, and you decided to pocket it.
So you picked it up. You picked up and took it to the police station, correct?
Is that the answer then? Is it, let's put it into the police station?
Or you pop it in a charity box.
Correct? Well, somebody else said this as well. But I need charity.
And then he said, I hope I find more money on the floor so I can buy a computer game that's very violent.
Gosh, I will not be leaving my handbag on the floor anywhere near this man.
Everyone would do the same thing because you cannot get the rightful owner. You can't. It's impossible.
I wouldn't do the same thing.
Go on, what would you do?
My kids ask me, Daddy,
yeah.
If we find Daddy, yeah. That's my youngest, my eldest is, Daddy, that's my eldest, my youngest is, so my eldest is, Daddy, and my youngest is, Dada.
They sound creepy.
They are creepy, you've met them, they're weird. I'm gonna lie. Daddy, when we go,
why is he an urchin from a 1960s film?
Daddy, when we go magnet fishing, if we find treasure, what do we do? I said, well, we will do, we will take it to the police.
A constable.
A police officer. And we will hand it in. And we will leave it for 6 months. And if someone collects it within that 6 months, we did a good thing.
Yeah.
And if no one collects it within that 6 months, we will take it. Thank you, Dad, that sounds like such a noble thing. I said, it's not noble, it's right. I said that anyone that doesn't do that is a shit.
So you don't think the policeman would just take it and go,
Now the police have been. Flipping heck, mate. Unbelievable.
Wow.
You disgust me, man.
Wow.
Thank coppers. We get a lot of coppers listening to this show.
People who've been out saving lives all day, and you give them that.
No, mate, they can't allow that, buddy.
The lost and found. What lives are they saving?
Well, that might have been someone's £10 for insulin.
But you can't. You're just any random guy.
I'll tell you what we'll do.
Yeah, I lost £10.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Sagittarius, right? Where did you find it?
They should tell me where they found it.
No, you should tell me where you found it.
I will say this, right?
Oh, here we go. Billy Bullshit.
I will say centre of London.
Okay, fine.
And they can tell me
King's Road. The King's Road.
I can't remember. Okay, I can remember what street it's near.
Okay, fine.
And this might tell people what I've been up to, though, but...
where are the famous dogging sites? Soho. Okay, we'll take calls straight to where? 0344...
I should find the right street.
4991000. Have you lost a tenner? Sagittarius. Sagittarius has got it. And he wants to give it back to you. Because
it's already in my bank account.
That's okay.
Good for safekeeping.
Well done. Now we're talking. Now we're talking, buddy. You're not
an irresponsible person would have spent it on booze and tats.
0344. Call straight to air. 499-1000. Have you lost £10? You got to be able to prove that you've lost the £10. I'm not just going to give it away to.
Tell us what it looks like.
Let's go to line three. Line three. What's your star sign, please?
My star sign is Aquarius.
Okay.
Wow, that was expecting it proof that quickly.
Okay, Aquarius. Have you lost £10?
No.
Ah.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's
maybe he hasn't realised he's lost it yet.
Thank you very much. Maybe, Amy, you could call Aquarius back while I take line four. What's your star sign, line four?
Me, Libra. Good morning.
Good morning, Libra. Did you lose £10?
No, I did not.
Okay. We're taking calls from people that have lost £10, Libra.
I'll ring tomorrow then, because I wanted to tell you what the rule is in Scotland about finding money. Finding in England.
Please tell us. Sagittarius can be educated.
Am I on air?
Yes, you're on air, Libra. Get to the point.
Okay, I didn't realize. Right. Okay, very quickly. In Scotland, if you find a wallet, for argument's sake,
You
have to hand it in to the police. Yeah, if you don't, it's stealing by finding.
Right, stealing any by money, finding. Finding.
Any money which is in there and it's handed in, the police, when it's handed to the rightful owner, the police will take 10%. But that 10% is for the finder.
Oh.
So if there's £100 in the lost wallet, £10 will go to the finder. That's automatic. No argument. The person who lost the car,
no questions
anything
asked.
About it.
Yep.
No questions asked. That's what it's done. If there's only cards in the wallet, then the finder gets nothing. But any cash, it's 10%, which I think is a good idea.
I think that's a great idea.
So,
I think that's wallet law, though. That's not just cash on the floor law.
Okay. Okay.
Who's talking?
That's Sagittarius the thief.
Well, yeah.
You talk to Sagittarius for me.
Oh, do I have to?
You're right. No, you don't have to.
Sorry.
We've got some more calls coming in.
He's a disgraceful human being. Who wants to?
Let's go to line five. Line five, what's your star sign, please?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, welcome.
Yes. Well,
hi.
Hello.
Hello, so, Sagittarius.
Hello.
No, not you, Sagittarius. Sagittarius, you're through to Sagittarius.
Hi, Sagittarius.
Yes. Hello. Actually, a few days ago, I found £5 in Grantham.
Okay, well, you should technically, you're going to be leaving the country in just over 2 weeks' time, so...
So...
Did you have it?
There's a trade. I think we're stealing stuff.
Okay, so Sagittarians are thieves.
Yes. Sorry.
They're a bit of thievery. Just say we find us keepers. They're not thievery.
Because what are we to do, actually?
Yeah,
you find
exactly.
Something on the pavement.
I've told you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do the right thing. And yes, Sagittarius lady, I have heard David Bowie's cover of God Only Knows, and it's one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life.
Of course.
It's awful. Have you heard it, Catherine?
No.
Oh, it's awful.
I'd heard tell.
Okay, Sagittarius, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah, okay.
Goodbye, because that was completely useless. It just proves that Sagittarians are thieves.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Line six, what star sign are you? Jesus.
Is that me?
Yes.
I'm a Virgo.
Okay, Virgo. What, have you lost £10?
I have.
Where?
Mainly around my hips and a bit on my side.
Oh, for crying out loud.
There's that Virgo sense of humour.
Oh, jeez.
It's hard to find the owner, isn't it? It's almost impossible, you'd say.
It's not impossible. Hang on. Ah, here we go. By the way, I'm trying to argue with my friend Scott on Twitter. He's posted a picture and said, can you see what it says on the T-shirt? I'm like, yeah, you can read it. He's trying to get us to guess it. You can read it.
Mm.
Line four, what star sign are you?
I'm a Leo.
Hello, Leo. Have you lost £10?
I have lost £10.
Can you tell me what it looks like, please?
Orange and white.
Oh, sounds legit.
The Sagittarius, can you describe the £10 that you found?
What year?
It was this year, I'm guessing, that you lost it.
No, I mean, what, is it a new £10 or is it an old £10?
Well, if it's an old £10, it wouldn't be worth any money, you muppet.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
So, could you give the £10? What's this guy? Is he Leo? Who's he? What is he? What is he?
What is he?
Yes.
What is he? What is he? What are
Virgo.
You? What are you?
Leo.
Yeah, I thought so. Sagittarius, can you give the I'm getting so annoyed with everyone. Sagittarius, just give the £10.
Give me my money.
Just give him the £10. Leo, talk to Sagittarius.
Where did you leave it? Where did you leave it? You know where I lost it. Give me it back. I saw you run away with it.
Half man, half horse.
No, because how many people have dropped £10 today in the whole country? You could be one of them. I could have found one of the multiple people. No, there's been at least thousands. I'm not giving this tenner to the wrong
person. To the individual.
Where did you drop it? Hello? This guy's not real, Ian. He's not ill. He's trying to thieve. He's trying to take my money. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Gemini.
Hello, Gemini. Where did you... Have you lost £10?
I have lost £10. Yeah, it was a little while back, but it was at the now-defunct Doctor Who experience in Cardiff.
Yeah, oh, this Doctor Who news.
No, I know the Doctor Who news is handled by the Doctor Who correspondent. Oh, I am the Doctor Who correspondent.
Oh, I thought you were into discs or something. What are they called?
Flexi discs. I mean, who's into that stuff?
I thought you were the Flexi disc correspondent. Where did you drop your £10, Flexi disc correspondent? Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Have you lost £10?
No, I've just given £5.
You've given somebody £5?
Yeah, so there's a homeless chap at the end of my road, and I always give him £5. I'm a Pisces.
Oh, that's good. Is there any other news that you want to tell me? Because this is about £10.
No.
£10. Giving the £10 to the rightful owner. Hotline.
I just gave £5 to the homeless chap and right. That's right. Why I was trying to call up earlier.
Oh, so I think you'll get through later. This is just a £10 hotline. Trying to get the rightful owner of the £10.
Hello?
Hello? Have you lost £10 recently?
Is that Sagittarius?
This is Sagittarius.
Hi, it's Virgo.
Hi, Virgo.
Virgo. I don't want to, gloat, but I just wanted to let you know that recently I found £20. On the street outside of Tesco's.
What did you do?
And I'm just letting you know what a Virgo would do. I actually picked it up and I went into the shop. I hid the money and I asked if anybody had lost some money recently. And everybody shook their head. They looked at me like I was mental. But then I went up and just checked the lady that was paying. She had a toddler in her arms and I said, excuse me. Have you lost any money? Have you been to the cash point recently outside? And she said, yeah, why? I said, did you take your money? She said, oh my God, I've left £20 out there. And I handed it to her.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just saying that's what a Virgo would do in that situation.
I can't believe she guessed the right figure. I mean, I would have done the same thing, but I was in an empty street, so I would have definitely done that. But it was empty, so... possible.
We should have started knocking on doors.
But, you know, they could have guessed the right figure as well. I would have gone tenner straight away, and it was a tenner.
Did you at least dust for fingerprints?
I'm not an expert on these things. If someone came to my door and said, did you drop any money? I would have gone, yes, £10. So, I wouldn't trust that, because that's what I would do. Got to find the right person. You can't just give it to anybody willy-nilly. Hello? It's really hard to get... Well, hello? Are you the man?
In most cases, yes.
I did think of giving it to charity, but I didn't. Because I wanted that £10.
Really, I would like to give it to the rightful owner, but it's just impossible. As we're finding out today, it's impossible to track down the right person. So, I think we all know who's right. In this scenario, it's me.
Do we?
Definitely. Anybody else want to have a go? I once found £60 in a park on the floor, and there was no one nearby, and I did that as well because I thought, oh, I could talk to the park attendant, but he'd probably just pop it and say, yeah, he gave the right person. But I was talking to someone earlier and they said it's probably drug money, so we took the money out of the drug for this house. I probably made £100 from picking up money off the floor. I'm quite proud of that. If people didn't pick money up off the floor, would devalue currency. Just telling you. They're going about money down the back of sofas. Don't they? It's just dead air. Hello.
You know what else people pick up off the floor?
What?
Diseases.
Well, I'm okay with that. That's danger money. Danger pay. I earned it. Even more reason why I earned that money. Because I took the danger. I took the risk. So I earned that. I earned that money. Anybody else? Tenner? You can guess the right street, I'll give it to you. Free money. I'm betting there's not even one person that could name the right street, so... £10. Hello? They'll be whispering to themselves. Hello? Would you like £10?
It's outrageous.
Why is it outrageous, sir?
Oh, well, you can actually hear me now.
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Steve Donahue.
What's your star sign, please?
Oh, it's Aquarius.
Aquarius.
I'm suffering with insomnia at the moment, and
oh yeah,
I was listening to the best clips of Ian Lee, and he introduced me to Tommy Ball, and
That's good.
No. I was watching the best clips of Ian Lee, and he interviewed Tommy Cannon and Johnny Bull, and he said about the invisible snooker table. That's outrageous. That made me laugh so much.
Oh,
thanks for that, mate.
Out.
The best clips.
That's all right. Anytime.
No, but see, you're not Ian Lee.
Aren't I?
You'll try to be Ian Lee, will ya?
What's your tips for trying to be Ian Lee?
I have no idea. Introduce me to some good comedy acts?
Sophie Hagen. I watched that with Roger.
Sophie Hagen? Okay.
Yeah. Give it a go. Secret Dinosaur Cult Podcast. Do you want a tenner, though? Giving out tenners. No. I don't even care if you're the right owner now. I think it's a good competition now. Name a street in London. Hi. Are we still on air? Is this a sick joke? Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Do you want to name a street in London?
Tottenham Court Road.
No, it was not Tottenham Court Road, I'm afraid. You are not the rightful owner. Next. Hello. Am I still on there?
No, right? He's gone into silent mode.
Who's this? Is this Aquarius again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are we still playing the stars? I don't know what the rules of this game are. I'm Aquarius.
Do you take any notice of Aquarius?
Being an Aquarius? Do I do what? Do I take
care
what?
About it. Take any note of it.
Do I do what?
Do you go like, oh, yeah, star signs, they rule my life. All the planets and the stars, you know. Because if so, the stars and the planets wanted me to have that 10 quid, so that's another reason to...
Hello, guys. How are you guys? You all right?
Hello.
Nigel. Nigel.
What's your star sign, mate? Nigel. I'm starstruck. What's your star sign?
Well, I like big stars, you know, on TV and radio, like Ian Lee. My star sign, I think it's Pisces.
Okay.
That's a good isn't it? Because I had a girlfriend said that she was Pisces, and I can't stop her chasing me now.
Oh, wow.
I've got someone chasing me.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Sleepy blue ocean, you f*** up my senses, come f*** me again.
I've done something really stupid, Catherine, and you should have stopped me. By the way, first hour of the show, let's try it. New callers only. If you've never called the show before, ever. 0344-499-1000. Nice, friendly, peaceful, loving show. New callers only. First hour.
This is your time to shine.
It's your time to shine. If you're nervous because you think normally you've got nothing to contribute, could I have those headies, please? You've got nothing to contribute, or you're worried because I'm aware it can sometimes feel a little bit like, oh, I should get the, let me get the... Got that. It can feel a little bit like a private club, and it can always be, it can be intimidating walking into a private club or a pub full of regulars.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first hour at least, we may get no calls, that's fine. We may get loads of calls, and then we may carry on. But let's see, for the first hour at least, you can only come on the air if you've never called us before. Let me just give the number out. Let me just give that number out. You see, you're diving, ready to dive in. Put that point, Peter Pointer away, young lady. 03.
I'm sorry, I didn't think you could see it.
444-499-1000. 03-444-499-1000. You'll speak to Amy. She takes your name and number. Give a fake name if you want, if you're a bit shy. She calls you straight back. You come on. We have a chat. It's that simple. Yes, you, Catherine.
I want you to think of me and Ian as your friendly neighbourhood publicans. And while we enjoy regulars, if you're in here every night, we're going to start to worry about you. So, maybe restrict your serving, just for your own good. So, 0344.
What's that noise?
It's me talking.
No, there's a noise even more irritating.
Oh.
The pulsing, you hear the pulse?
Mm-hmm.
Unplug your computer, turn your, just shut the lappy.
Is it not them, hoovering outside?
No, it's in here.
What's going,
shush, can't hear it if you're talking. Something in here is pulsing, and it ain't the vibe of the show. So, first hour only, we may get no calls. Always prepare for this to be a complete and utter failure. But failure is, we only learn by failure. So if you've never called the show before, 0344-499-1000, we have a few things for you to talk about in a second. But I bought something that I'm in such a bad state of mind, because I've made one very rash purchase, and I've sent one really stupid message on Facebook. I want to buy the Nintendo Switch Lite. It's like a tiny little handheld console that you carry around. I want to buy it. It's £200. I can't really afford £200 at the moment. I'm having bathroom issues, as you know. Mm. And so I was looking online.
He's not talking about his guts.
You can type into Google something and then click on shopping, and it will take you to the lowest priced things. And I found something on this website Now, let me just see the name of this website. E-Global UK. E-Global Central UK. Now, despite what you might think from the name E-Global Central UK, apparently it's based in Hong Kong. And they're selling the Nintendo Switch lights for not £200, £156. Bought one. And then I'm thinking, that's the most stupid thing to do. So the reason there was a slight hesitation after sweary John Denver at the end there, the reason there was a slight hesitation is because I was sending an email trying to cancel that purchase. So that's the first thing, right? Buying a hooky.
Possibly hooky, maybe not.
Could be legit. They've got very mixed reviews. Hooky, legit stuff. I'm sure it's a fine company. I'm sure it's a wonderful company. I'm sure it's a great company. But I bought this thing, and I don't know what's going to happen. But then I'm on Facebook, and my local Facebook group, I'm a member of a few local Facebook groups. They're great because you get loads of gossip. You get quite a bit of racism. And then you get people advertising stuff for sale or giveaway. And a cat fosterer posted two little kittens on the page and went, I've got these two little kittens. They need to be rehomed together. Can anyone help? Now, I'm jealous of your cat. And we'll talk about jealousy in a bit, because we've talked about this a little bit. I'm genuinely jealous of your cat. And it's a weird thing.
Well, she's got a great life.
I'm jealous of you getting the cat. Uh-huh. Right? I've got three cats and I love them. And you're my best friend. And I'm jealous of you. And it's good that we can say this, because it's not built on logic. It's not built on thinking. It's a completely irrational. It's an irrational feeling, because I'm really happy with the three girls I've got. Really happy. And I'm really happy that finally you've got a cat, because you've wanted one for years and you didn't think you'd be able to because your husband wasn't that keen and the girls, your kids are over the moon. And I'm still jealous.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I was thinking about this day. Why am I jealous? And it's just completely irrational. It's completely irrational. Logically, I'm not jealous. I'm happy for you. But there is a part of me that's going, oh, it's not fair. Of course it's fair. It's completely fair. I can talk about jealousy if you want. And if anyone's got any experience of it, and thank God that we can talk about it so that it doesn't become a resentment. But if anyone...
Wow, is it that strong?
No, it's not that strong. But, you know, these things can bubble away.
Yeah.
They can bubble away. Silly little things bubble away and can become big things. Uh-huh. So I'm not at home, you know, with pictures of your cat and stabbing a meagre cat tomorrow.
You're crossing my face out and sticking your own face
over it. I'm very, very excited. But we can talk about jealousy. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. What was I talking about? The cat. Yeah. Oh, so I've just messaged this woman and said, someone had got there first and said, I can take those two cats. And I've gone, well, if this person can't take those two cats, I'm in. I am in. Oh, that would make it
five.
Five cats in my house.
Well, six when you're babysitting mine.
Oh, God, I am babysitting yours. Anyway, this woman has sent back a message. That's great to know. Someone else is interested, but with rescue cats, the RSPCA is quite strict and want to make sure they go to a good home with a garden. So it may be the other interested party doesn't fit the bill. Thank you very much at work right now, but please do keep me informed. They are stunning. There we go. That's that done. So I'm in a weird kind of headspace where I'm looking for something that quotes you two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, because I don't think there is anything that I'm looking for. What are we going to do with the show tonight? Oh yeah. So new callers only, please. No calls so far, and that's absolutely fine. It's always a punt. The last time we did this was about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I think we had two calls in the entire 3 hours. But what calls they were. What calls they were. So I put this out there. Let's give you some bits and pieces to talk about, because that might make it a little bit easy. Happy to talk about jealousy, envy, where it's got you, where it's taken you. Maybe you've bought something ridiculous because you're envious of your best mate or your sister or your mum. Something has prompted you to be envious and go and do something ridiculous.
Maybe you turn that into something positive. You realise that thing that they had, maybe you could get something like that if you did what they'd done.
Yeah. 03444991000 is the telephone number. We can carry on yesterday's talk about star signs and astrology. I'm really starting to think there is something in it. I've been reading a lot of literature today, a column in one of the newspapers, the horoscope column, and I'm starting to think that there is something in it. If you have an argument for or again astrology, 03444991000. Again, just for the first hour, new callers only. You can't have called before. You will get this. A bell, which is always good. Catherine, have you got anything that we can throw out there for... We talked about this yesterday, the funeral. Did we mention this on air? I think we did. Yeah. The funeral, where the Irish funeral where the guy, as the coffin was lowered in, there was a speaker in the grave saying, "Help me! I'm not dead! Get me effing out of here!"
Yes.
And it was hilarious. There's a video of it. And the audience? You call them the crowd?
Family and friends, the loved ones, the ones that left behind.
Very sombre.
The mourners,
that's it. Went from being very sombre to laughing hysterically. Now, here's the thing about funerals, right? There's surprisingly, a very good one, there is surprisingly a lot of laughter. I gave a talk at a gentleman's funeral recently, and I was called out for not being that funny by a grumpy old git. We'll stuff him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
Imagine getting called out at a funeral because you've not been funny enough. Jesus. But there is a lot of laughter, a lot of tears. I've never been to a hole in the ground funeral. I've been to cremations. A lot of laughter, a lot of tears. That whole from the service to when you walk into the wake. That's tough. You can get a few good laughs in there, though. But once you get into the wake, that's just laughter and joy and fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sometimes, like you said, you know, and you did a good eulogy at that particular funeral. I was lucky enough to be there.
I got called out for not being funny enough.
I think that he was always going to do that, quote-unquote, joke. But my dad is brilliant at eulogies. Right. And when he gets up, it's like a relief.
Yeah.
Because... I think a lot of funerals are kind of one size fits all, you know, service wise, order of service wise, and you get the kind of usual comforting words from the celebrant or whoever's doing it.
Yeah.
But it's when the family members get up, and if they can do a good speech and kind of bring the highlights of someone's life and or the funny way they used to talk, all that sort of stuff. When my dad does it, people are laughing because it's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We get a moment of just... a piece of them back, almost.
Talk funerals, 03444991000. I've also got a story about babysitting, what some babysitters discovered when they were in someone's house. And there is also a story about, this is going to be dark, but some people, we were talking the other day about the best movies and TV series are where people have been locked underground for several years because they think there's been an apocalypse. It's happened again for real. A whole group of men locked in a basement for 9 years. 03, Adam's up. We'll speak to you next, Adam. 03444991000. If any of those whet your appetite, that's great. Or if anything else you want to talk about, maybe you want to talk about Brexit, we'll kind of do it. It's kind of a big thing tonight. Talk about the Sky Channel, the Sky News that's going to be Brexit free because a third of the audience are bored of Brexit. I get that. Maybe you just want to phone in and say hello. 03444991000. Brand new callers for the first hour of the show tonight. This is the Late Night Alternative. That's Catherine Boyle. I'm Ian Lee, and this is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the phone number. The first hour at least. We might go on longer. Let's see how it goes. I want brand new callers that have never called us before. I've just had an email from Sean in America saying, how do I call you? Sean, email me back your number and I will call you up. We've got three calls lined up, ready to go. Let's go to... Oh, could I get some headphones? Could I get another pair of headphones that, I don't know, work? Is that... I have some headphones here, some headies here, some headies here. Hang on, guys. Sorry, should have done this at the start of the show. No, not those ones. Can I have those ones, please? Thank you.
Third time lucky.
Hello. There we go. We got a show. Let's go to... take them in the order that they came. We got Susan, we got Martin, but first of all... We, come on. Come on. Amy, could you put Adam through on line one, please, and Martin on line two? I can't seem to do it from my side. That's not a major problem. Good evening, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Are you a first-time caller, sir?
I most certainly am.
You get the first bell of the evening, Adam.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
How you doing, man? How long you been listening for?
Oh, maybe about 2 years.
Wow, flippin' heck, you've been listening for a long old time, my friend. You stuck through the highs and the many, many lows.
I know, I've had loads of arguments with my missus, because she goes to bed and still sit up listening to you.
And I'm guessing you're not allowed to listen in bed. That would be a step too far.
I just leave it upstairs, I stay downstairs.
Go and make love to your wife, go and make love to your beautiful wife!
She's not talking to me anymore because of you.
You haven't seen her.
Adam, come on, Ads. Come on, big man. Adam, you called in tonight, and we appreciate it. What have you called in for, sir?
I phoned you to say, you know, about being jealous or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I was in a place, right, in South Thailand one day, and I weren't jealous, right? And I was a big plumpy guy, shall we say?
Yes.
And I met this bloke on the beach, and he was walking up the beach, and he had a beautiful body, and I said to him, how'd you get a body like that?
Let me stop you for a second, Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we building up to a punchline of a gag?
No, this is a good one.
This is a good one! Alright, guys, ladies and gentlemen, Adam is his first call. He's very nervous. He's never done this before. Would you please welcome to the stage? It's Adam. Here we go. Let's have it.
So, he said to me, I don't drink alcohol. He said, I don't smoke. I do nothing. All I do is drink alcohol and smoke, right?
Here we go.
I gave up for 7 months.
Yes, sir.
I lost 6 stone. I what? Saved £7,000.
Yep.
I went to the Philippines.
Yeah.
And it changed my life.
Wow.
Forever. Now I have 2 children. And my life is totally different from that man I met.
Wow.
And it was nothing in it, you know?
Yes.
Just somebody I seen and thought, wow, I want to copy that person. And my life has totally changed. I got a beautiful wife, 2 beautiful children, a lovely house, all because of that guy walking up the beach, and I thought, I want to look like that.
And how's your bod these days? Still beautiful?
Oh, yes. It's probably better than the guy now I seen on the beach.
Well, hang on a minute. So this actually happened?
Yes.
I was waiting for the punchline.
No, I seen this guy and he was...
You went up to a beautiful man and said, you're fit.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I like...
He said, I want your body.
I want your wife and children.
I want your body, yeah. I just looked and he said, this is how you do it. He said, just give up your drinking, give up your smoking, and I done it. I saved loads of money, went to the Philippines, spent a couple of months there. 10 years later, I got a beautiful house, everything. Just on that.
Wowzers. Well, good for you, man. But now you don't talk to your missus and you won't go upstairs and make love to her. Instead, you listen to a junkie and, a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, she's in the room watching, some Thai movies and, I'm out here in my beautiful garden watching the everything. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So we're all happy.
Nice one, man. Well, thank you for that, Adam. I appreciate you sharing that.
Lovely, and thank you very much for a wicked show.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. And I'm sorry I was on red alert there, waiting.
He just wanted to tell us about his buns of steel.
Nice guy. Someone's made a film about Jet Set Willy, the video game. And they're trying to email me. Anyone can email me, and Kath, we both get these emails. You're not emailing me privately. You're not emailing Kath privately. Both of us see these emails. Ian@ianlee.com. And while we're doing plugs, very quickly, Brighton in November has sold out. December the 14th, Sunday, December the 14th, it's an afternoon show in London. Catherine and I doing a big rabbit hole Christmas special. We've got just under 40% of the tickets are left. That's 2 months away, and we've sold well over half the tickets. ianlee.com/event. ianlee.com/event. This is the Late Night Alternative. Catherine Boyle, Ian Lee. We're taking, for the first hour, people that have never phoned the show before. Let's go to Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Hiya, how are you?
Excited to hear your voice, Martin. Whereabouts in the world are you, please?
I'm from East Grinstead.
I like East Grinstead. I went out with a girl in who was near East Grinstead years ago. 20-odd years ago. It's nice there.
Yeah, it's very nice. I moved from Croydon Street.
Oh, it's a bit kind of full of old people. So when I went there in my 20s...
Well, no, it's full of religious people.
Scientology has got a big base there.
You've got the ley lines here. So you've got like...
Wowzers.
You've got like the Scientologists. You've got everything here.
But you know ley lines. I was talking to Kath about ley lines the other day.
Yeah.
Do you know what ley lines are?
I'm not exactly sure. Right. I went to the library to try and find out.
I'll tell you what they are. Right. It's supposed to be where energy, supposed to be points of energy from one point to another. And apparently the whole country, the whole world is covered where these ley lines. And if you get to a bit where the ley lines intersect, it's supposed to possess magical properties. Right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? They were invented, I think, in about the 1920s.
Correct.
By a vicar who just wanted, like, direct points between churches. I think I've got that right.
No, I think you're wrong there.
Go on. There's nothing magical or mystical in them. They're just direct points between some things.
Yeah, I agree that, but I don't think they were, like, made up.
Well, it says here, Alfred Watkins, early 1920s, was out wandering round one day in Herefordshire and noticed that many of the local footpaths connected the surrounding hilltops in a straight line. After looking at a map, he saw a pattern of alignment, and he posited, which means made up, that in ancient times, Britain had been crossed by a network of straight travel routes using various hilltops and other physical features as landmarks.
Well, fine, yeah. What can I say?
Well, exactly, what can you say? Again, if you're a ley lines expert, very mystical shows.
No, I'm not a ley line expert.
I'm talking to the puddings listening. If you're a ley line expert and you've never called in, tonight is the night. Imagine.
I've never called in, but...
No, I'm not talking!
I wanted to say something to
Yes,
you,
go on, Martin, please do.
Because I listen to Talk Sport all the time.
I'm so sorry.
Obviously, and I flick between you and Kath, and I just...
Dirty bugger.
What?
Stop flicking between me and Kath. Make a choice and flick to that.
Flicking between you and Kath, but I do think you speak a lot of sense. But I do also think that you have like
racist
like when
tendencies.
You say like you're bisexual and all this, and
yeah.
I think there's always like a massive thing with you.
Yeah. You have what are you talking about? My penis.
What?
What?
Hey.
No, I never think of that.
Okay, sorry, I thought you were talking about my penis.
Why are you talking about your penis?
Why is he talking about
my
penis?
Why did he raise your penis?
He wants to play with my ley line.
No.
Go on, carry on, Martin.
No, I'm just saying that I suffer from depression.
Yeah.
And everything else, like what you have suffered from.
Yeah.
And I really find you interesting, you know, like, I like the way that you, like, are considerate to other people.
Sometimes. Not everyone thinks that I am. But are you saying there is...
No, but you are, because you speak a lot of sense.
Well, I don't know about that.
I can relate to that, you know?
But are you saying that there's always something big as... Are you saying that's a bad thing?
Something
or?
Like with you, like... I don't know. I followed your career, and it's like... There's always something that pops up that makes me feel like, oh, I don't know why he said that, you know?
Now isn't that interesting? Okay, you mentioned the bisexuality thing. So let's focus on that for a second, if you don't mind. Why, and you're right, recently, the last 3 or 4 years, there have been a lot of stuff, but I think it's because I'm working through a lot of issues that I've had, and there's been a divorce, and I feel like I'm coming up, I'm shooting up through the surface of the earth, like a plant, and I'm nearly out. Most of the big stuff is out there. All of the big stuff is out there.
Yeah.
But why,
but
when
are
I
you
said-
sure that, that's right.
Am I sure what?
Are you sure that's right, what you're putting out there?
Are you suggesting that I should keep that stuff private?
No, never. No.
Well, go on, explain, because I'm trying to work out.
But I think with you, that maybe... Is it real?
Oh, do you think it's... Are you suggesting it might be a little bit of theatre?
No, well, a little bit of, like,
to get listeners.
No. A little bit... Because you are, like, probably like I am, a little... Like, you suffer from depression and, like things that... I can't explain it, but I really don't believe that you are.
That I'm, what, bisexual?
No, not like that. But there's things you say, like, to people on the radio, that you are, like, you suffer from a bit of depression, you know.
I'm enjoying this, and I'm loving the fact that you're raising this, but I'm struggling ever so slightly, Martin, just to grasp your point, and that may be my fault. So, which bit don't you believe?
I believe you're a very funny comedian,
right.
You know, like, and you've done, like, TV and everything like that.
Correct, yeah.
And then because maybe the career didn't go like you wanted to,
yeah,
that you might possibly
go on
be feeling like you're looking for excuses.
Gosh.
So I think that you're a really decent person and
yeah,
everything else, because I've been through that.
Martin, by the way, I'm so enjoying this call, right? And so yeah, please don't think you can offend me
or
get me angry.
No, you're a top person.
No, exactly, but I'm just
everybody else that I've listened to, like you.
It feels like you're holding back from saying something, so I want you to say it. Let me try.
Yeah.
Do you think I have made up something I have revealed on the show to try and get listeners or to get my career back on track or to get some attention? Is that what you're saying?
No. What I think is that maybe in your mind,
yep,
that you have done this.
Subconsciously.
Because not to get your... Because you don't give a...
Watch your language. That's a yellow card. Yellow card.
Sorry.
Yellow card. No F-bombs, please.
You don't give a damn about your relationship with your work. But what I'm trying to say, you speak so much positivity that you should almost be like a counsellor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you've been through so much. But I can't believe that you've been through so much. So I think when you are not... Like, when lady that you work with went on holiday, you sort of had a breakdown after that.
Yeah, I missed her.
No, it wasn't. It's because, like, she was, like, doing quite well and everything, and I think that you couldn't handle that. And I'm not being nasty by saying that.
No, you're not being nasty. You're not being nasty at all. I appreciate your honesty and the fact that we can have an honest conversation. I did have a breakdown.
Yeah.
I don't think that was... I thought that was before she went.
No, it's when you were in Italy.
Okay. Well, that wasn't because Catherine was... Who's my female...
Maybe it was. You've got to think about it, haven't you? Maybe it was because she...
No,
was
I'm trying... No, hang on, Martin.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it because I'm a big fan of accuracy.
Yeah.
And and that's what I'm thinking about. You don't have to... Because you're thinking about something doesn't mean you're making something up. It means that you are considering your response. I am considering my response and trying to be accurate. That's all. I certainly have never been upset or had a breakdown because Catherine has been doing well. I can categorically say has never happened.
I think I remember you saying, though.
Yeah, well, I think it is.
Martin.
It's your baby, isn't it?
Martin, let Catherine speak.
It's not his baby, it's our baby. I remember you saying that it unsettled you, that you had a feeling of...
Oh, well, it's back to what we're talking about with the cat.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of envy.
Yeah, that you're glad that I was doing well, but part of you was thinking she's better than me and I don't like
it.
Martin.
Martin, hang on.
That's what he actually said to me.
Who did?
Hello, me. Go on, Martin, you make your point, because I think we're all at cross purposes here. I don't think anybody's having the same conversation here.
Yeah, I know.
Fun.
Same here. But what I think is that Catherine can do her job very, and it's like a different show to your show.
Yes, correct.
And she says, like, you know, she's quite, I can't explain it, but she's quite, like, when she said about her ghost stories and all that.
Yes.
It's like a different sort of show.
It's a different
to
show.
Your show.
Yeah, and then when I do it on my own, it's a different show to the show that we do together.
Yes. I prefer your show from Catherine's show. I'm saying that Catherine's lesser than you,
okay,
but I just think that maybe... That because you two are together, that you sort of like maybe...
Should I kill her?
I'm not being... Are you yourself?
Are you telling me I should kill her?
Yes.
I will do, Martin. Thank you very much. We got there in the end. Why didn't you start
with that?
That
escalated slowly.
You should have started with that, Martin. I've got to murder you at some point, Catherine.
Okay.
Okay. Is it you all right with that? I only want to do it with your consent.
I mean... Could be a mercy, to be honest.
I really, I was getting very confused. I'm not, still not quite sure what Martin's point was, but it was his first time call.
Yeah.
So maybe there were nerves in place there.
I think he just wants you to think about what you've done.
I think about it all the time. But also, but I appreciate, if you want to phone up and criticise, I'm up for that. Mm-hmm. I'm up for that. If you can give a reason, if you can give reasons why I've done something that perhaps you don't like, and also if you can suggest a way I can avoid that, but yeah. Then I will, if I disagree, I'll, you know, I enjoyed that, thank you. New callers only for the first hour of the show tonight, I'm taking them in the order that they came, so we're going to go to Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Oh, hello, I didn't realise, I'm not a first time
caller. Oh, Susan.
Can I call you later?
Give us a call later on, Susan, thank you very much, I appreciate that. What honesty?
Honesty.
What? What honesty?
Mm-hmm.
She could have done a funny voice. Hello, never called you before.
We might not have noticed.
I didn't. I did recognise that voice straight away.
A bit,
yeah, I did totally. And I think, where's well done, thank you. All right, that means we can go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Paul, are you a brand new caller?
I am. Yes.
Well, then you get the caller bell.
Well done, sir. What can we do for you this evening?
I've always wanted to say this. Actually, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's the best phrase on radio.
Isn't it?
It's the best phrase. The only thing that comes close to that is if, imagine it's Paul's show, mm-hmm. right? So, Paul, you're going to me, I'm the caller, I'm Ian, Paul. I want you to say, hey, you're listening to Paul's show, let's go to our first caller, Ian. Go on.
Hey, you listen to Paul's show, let's go to the first caller, Ian.
Hello, Paul. Oh, no, I did it wrong. I did it wrong. Because I can't do it. It goes so against my natural thing.
Yeah.
Do it again, Paul.
That's
sorry.
How I feel. That's how I feel being on the radio. I think I'm going to do it wrong.
Do it again. Do what you did again. You were great.
Okay. Welcome to Paul's show. Here's our first caller. It's Ian.
Hello, Ian. No, you're... I mean, you're Paul. That...
Yeah, when they forget their own name.
The caller says their own name. It makes me so happy.
That's exactly how I feel right now.
How long have you been listening for, Paul?
I've been listening to you since your Absolute days.
Wow, okay.
When my wife was pregnant,
yep.
and she spent a lot of time in hospital, I used to be at hospital quite late, and I would get home quite late, I would go to bed, and I would put you on. So my kids are going to be 10 in December. So
flipping heck, man!
So it's kind of about... And then I listen to you more with the late night with the kids than, you know, going forward.
10 years!
So I listen to you... I used to listen to you all the time, you and Eloise on Absolute, and you used to, and it's one of the reasons why I thought I'd call you, because I've been thinking to myself for 10 years, one day I'll call you.
10 years, man. How is the baby, how's the baby doing, Paul?
It was twins.
Oh! So that's 20 years, really. They're good, they're healthy, they're well.
Yeah, they're fine. They're doing really well. Everybody's doing really well.
I bet those 10 years have flown by, haven't they?
Yeah, well, of course they were. I mean, you know as well, because I think my children are just a little bit older than your eldest.
Yeah,
I remember, you doing a show on Absolute where you brought a baby in
and you
sort of cracked on that Eloise was doing a bit of babysitting on
one
the side.
Of my, I remember, one of my favourite one of my favourite shows. I just had the baby. He's about 3 months old, my eldest. And we started doing the show, and then I said to Eloise, who was my producer at the time, I said, Eloise, why is there a baby here? Oh, it's all right, don't worry, I'm looking after it. So, what do you mean looking after
it? Hilarious.
Oh, I'm just babysitting because I'm not making enough money here. And this is my boy, I'm so proud of him, right? We kind of, and he was asleep, he was silent, and we're sort of arguing at the first 10 minutes. So you can't bring a baby to work. And she went, don't worry, he'll be dead quiet. Beep. And he did it just, my baby. Yeah, he's going to be 10.
Bickering about it on the radio was hilarious.
He's going to be 10 in January, imagine.
Yeah.
So
my kids are 10 in December. So that's
there
why.
You go.
So, and I didn't know that you had a kid, and then, of course, they did the thing with the baby on the show.
Yeah.
And then later on, I think I read somewhere that it was your baby.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh,
how funny. It was one of my favourite things.
But you did some great shows back in those days, and I just got hooked.
Just wondered if you could do some great ones now, if you don't mind.
No, but they are. But that's one of the reasons why I thought I'd call you, because I was listening to someone on, I think it was last night, you were talking about what the point of your show is.
Yes.
There's absolutely no point to your show whatsoever, and that's the beauty of it. That's why I love it so much, because I never would want to switch on and never know what I'm going to get. I could get Happy Ian, I could get Happy Kath, you get Grumpy Ian, I get, you know, doing a special on mental health, or just you know, being idiots and just having a laugh. And that's the point of the show, and that's why you got so many people. I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone, but that just love listening to you.
Thank
two.
You.
And I mean, I've been, I even when you finally got, so to say, let go from Absolute.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't get my sort of Ian Lee fix for a little bit. And then I found you, and you were doing the breakfast show with Kath.
Wow. Oh, God. Yeah.
And you weren't even in my area. And so I had to go find it on internet radio so I could listen to you.
Well, listen, so that was...
I've been stalking you a bit on the radio.
Well, bless you. I appreciate people following me around, particularly to some of the, you know, more fringe stations. And getting let go from Absolute, and I was let go, and I wasn't allowed to go back on air. I was devastated. But the best thing of that is I've now got my best mate. I wouldn't have met Catherine if that
comes across.
Happens.
You are such big mates.
Yeah,
it comes across on the radio. It really does. And you know, I'm a bit of a radio head, but the two people I consistently always listened to was you and Danny Baker.
Yeah,
I used to seek you two out. You know, to whatever you. If I couldn't listen to you, I'd get the podcast. Because Danny's just probably one of the best broadcasters in the country, and he was on like 2 hours a week. But then he muffed it up, didn't he? With silly tweet, you know. And I'm often paranoid that one day you're going to muff it up and you'll disappear, and you'll be in some sort of like local breakfast show now at Hebrides or something.
I've got in trouble a few times with tweets. I remember
I tweeted that
I was on a hunting holiday and that I'd shot a zebra and was going to and cut its foot off to make a fascinator for my mum. And my agent phoned me up and said, "Ian, you've got to stop this now." And I thought, "I'm not stopping
don't
it."
Muff it up, Ian.
No, I'm a good boy now, Paul. I'm pretty good on Twitter, and I know exactly what you mean.
I also have access to his account, so anything like that, I'll take it down.
Yeah, exactly.
But he definitely needs some sisterly love.
Someone
to take care of him in that regard, because if I got to go looking, because I had to go looking for that breakfast show, I'm seeing up to you, and I'm googling around trying to find you,
because I mean,
it wasn't in my area. Yeah, I know, but and then, you know, if I have to go doing that again, I'm just
okay.
Paul, I think I might have to check out.
You're on your last warning with Paul.
Paul, yeah. Really nice to talk to you at last, mate, and let's speak before those kids go to university, shall we?
Yeah, but you know, well, I mean, I normally, I've been meaning to ring you for all these years, and I never can, and at home I've got no decent signal, so you can't ring the house phone because you wake everybody up.
Okay.
I just happen to find myself in the car. I'm in the car park now because I've pulled over to speak to you.
Beautiful.
And this is your first opportunity I think I've had in 10 years
that
I actually speak to you, so it was lovely to talk to you.
You're a good man, Paul, thank you, and lots of love to those kids. 10 years, well done. Thank you, mate. This is turning into a very nice, successful little thing. We're doing new callers only. If you've never called before, let's take it on to 11:30, because we've got, in order, it's going to be Lee, then it's going to be Annie, then it's going to be Yasmin. I've got Sean in America's number, so I'm going to give him a little call as well. That's going to take us to about 11:15, I would have thought. So we'll go on to 11:30. That's half the show. Never called the show before. 0344-499-1000. There's nothing to it. You haven't got to have anything enlightening. You don't have to blow smoke up our ass. You know, we've had two quite different calls in a row there. One, I think, was critical of something. I'm not quite sure what. Mm-hmm. And one was you know, very... But you don't have to... Just phone up and say hello. This is the Late Night Alternative. It's Catherine Boyle, Ian Lee, every weeknight from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Brexit. We're doing it. We're going in, Kath. The start of the show... was awful, right? It's awful. And I'm tired of being the, you know, I'm tired of being the lesson to no Brexit. Let's just give in. Let's just lie back and let it wash over us. Brexit calls only. Let's go to David's called in. Good evening, David.
Hello, Mr. Speaker.
Order! Order!
What? I want to have a full-blown debate with one of your callers about Brexit, and you could be Mr. Speaker.
Okay, then say hello to Peter.
No. I will not have this. Not my hero, my legend, the man himself, Ian Lee, the seductress, my fetish, Catherine Boyle, poisoned by Brexit. I'm not having it. Goodbye.
But he hung up, David, so I think...
Leave means leave.
All right, David, he hung up there.
That was easy.
This is the problem with some of these debates.
Let's, David, say hello to Daniel.
Hello?
Yes.
Daniel?
I'll have a landline phone next week.
Mr. Speaker, I do not know what this guy is talking about.
Order! Order! Mr. Daniel!
Is Daniel speaking from Clapham? Hello?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
David, what are you doing?
That's what I'm jeering. I feel more.
He's jeering!
I thought he got his Uber out again.
Oh. Order.
And order some new Hoover bags. All right. Daniel and David are going to have a debate about Brexit. Whoever wins is what happens.
Can I start?
You can start, Daniel, yes.
So what if the World Trade Organization says, no, we don't accept the Brexit. I mean, we don't accept the deal. If the World Trade Organization says, we don't accept any deal.
David Babcock!
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The World Trade Organization is a long-established organization for world trade. And I think that they know what's good for them. They know what's good for them. Thank you very much.
Mr. Daniel!
So, if we have no deal, what will be the deal?
Mr. Babcock!
The deal is the one that we, me and my honourable friend have put on the table before you, like a big, nice sandwich. Thank you.
I don't understand, Captain! This is even more complicated than actual Brexit.
Can I do a speaker?
Yeah, please do.
Mr. Pinnabone!
Is that me?
Babcock.
Yeah, basically, all of you just settle down. Daniel, do you really think that we can leave the European Union without a deal?
Yeah, but if there is no hard border in the ocean, imagine there's no hard border in the ocean. So how can you trade with the Republic of Ireland?
Daniel, do you like it? Do you like it hard? Or do you like it soft?
Soft.
You like it soft?
Soft and mellow, yeah.
Soft and yellow?
Mellow.
You want it soft and mellow. And David, I'm assuming that you would err on the side of hard, very hard.
Aye.
Okay. So it's hard versus soft as you guys go head to head.
Right.
So David is hard right now.
Yes.
And Daniel, you're soft at this precise moment in time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the hard border can be in the ocean.
Okay.
It?
So David, you're hard. Are you going to get it wet?
Sorry, do I have to make him hard?
Well, you could convince him that hard is better.
You've got to try and get Daniel. Hang on, Daniel, please.
David, I want to say
hang on, Daniel.
About
Daniel, please, Daniel. David, you have
order.
To... Order! Cathy, do one.
Order!
David, you have to try and get Daniel hard.
Right.
And Daniel, your job is to persuade David that soft is best and see if you can get him soft. Daniel, you go first. Try and get David soft. He's hard at the moment.
Okay, so we have a radioactive shark coming from Russia. How do you stop it with a hard border?
Hang on, can we just check that? Amy, can you check that? Is this where did you hear this story, Daniel?
We have a radioactive shark.
Yes.
Coming
from where Russia. Where did you hear this? I'm not seeing anything about that on the news.
You did hear about the Extinction Rebellion?
Didn't hear about the Extinction Rebellion?
Yeah, I want to say something about
it. There's a radioactive shark from Russia coming, David.
Right.
How do you stop it with a hard border?
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, I think that my right...
Answer the question!
He doesn't do that.
Answer the question!
Right, my original girlfriend is speaking absolute balding. There's no radioactive sharks coming from Russia or anywhere else in the world. And a hard border would stop it because it's hard.
Bollocks!
No, excuse me. Or objection. Right, well, not
overruled!
No, we're confused. Daniel, I will need to make you hard, right?
You mean a bioactive submarine?
I want to lick you up and down till you say stop.
I want to say something about the Extinction Rebellion.
Okay, Daniel, talk to us about Extinction Rebellion.
Okay, so imagine you have a Twitter account that can make laws. You
a Twitter account that can make laws? Wow, I think some of them do.
You can make a law with your Twitter. So the law would say, if you can work from home, it has to be done from home. The law would be saying that. What Prince Charles and Bill Gates have in common?
Well, let's tread carefully. What do Bill Gates and Prince Charles have in common?
In common.
Are they hard or soft?
No, they never planted a tree.
How do
I've got one.
Go on.
I think Charles did.
Go on, David.
Does Prince Andrew and...
No,
thank you, David. Thank you. Have you ever planted a tree, Daniel?
I did in school.
Prove it.
My tree had a name was Alice.
Alice the tree. Well, there's evidence. Alice. David, can you prove you've planted a tree?
Yeah, I've got a big picture of it, and I just named it Alex.
Okay, well, that's that. This is it, you see. The Brexit debate really does need to be covered and considered. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, David Babcock.
I wasn't convinced at the start of that, but now I am very convinced.
I'm convinced.
That this is the new direction for the programme.
03444991000. It's a Brexit special. I'm hoping... It'd be nice to get an American's viewpoint. I wonder if Chuck Winkle could call us later on.
Yes.
And give us an American's viewpoint on Brexit.
I'd like to hear his views on withdrawal.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Boris Johnson! Boris Johnson! Bojo has done what was said could not be done. He's got us a bloody deal. And it's a good one.
Is it?
Yes, it is, mate. It's a great one.
Think it's going to get past Parliament?
Who knows? Let's go to, I think it will actually. Because the EU will not grant an extension. Jamie!
Hello, mate. How are you doing? All right?
I'm very, very well, Jamingtons. What have you got for us this evening?
You think Boris Johnson's going to get a deal? Nah, I think he's going to get a 31-inch blooming willy. More like, you know what I mean? I don't think he's going to get a deal, mate. He's talking out of his arse.
He's got a deal.
Nah, mate, the only deal he's going to have is a...
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's go... Ah-ha! Look who's called in! It's time to get... Hang on a second, let me introduce you. It's time to get an American's perspective. Hang on a minute, we can make this into a feature for free. Here we go, let's just typed in... Here we go. It's time to get... An American's perspective on Brexit. We go live to Washington to Talk Radio's very own. I don't know why I'm doing an American accent, I'm British. Talk Radio's very own American correspondent. Woo! Chuck Winkle. Good evening, Chuck. Good afternoon, Chuck.
I don't believe it's a good morning here over America.
Well, hang on. Whereabouts are you? Where are you?
Oklahoma.
That's sort of like in the middle, isn't it? So it's probably, you're no more than 7 hours behind us. So yeah. it's probably about...
It's 4:35 in the afternoon.
You must have overslept.
It's the first time I've been able to talk to you so far, so I thought I'd start with good morning.
Oh, I suppose so. I suppose so. I'll take that good morning to you, Chuck. What are the Americans making of Brexit over there in America?
I gotta say, quick question. What do you think of that stupid head politician you got over there? Guy's a crazy one.
Which one's that?
Boris Johnson. The guy's a lunatic.
Who, sorry?
The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. I gotta tell you, we all got a mad chuckle over here about Boris and his Andrew Ridgely, is it? Yeah. Deputy Prime Minister, Andrew Ridgely.
Andrew Ridgely was the deputy wham.
Gotta say, breaking up a bit there.
Okay. That's the point of Brexit.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.